Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me this afternoon via Skype is my friend Mike Alibov. And Mike, the Islanders are in the playoffs. They have won the Jennings Trophy. They had the least amount of goals allowed in the NHL. And they are hosting game one of the first round at Nassau Coliseum against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that entire sentence seems like it's complete insanity from where we were about a year ago from today.
I was going to say that. Can you imagine on October 1st, just thinking to yourself or someone telling you, it's going to be Islanders Penguins at the Coliseum for game one of the playoffs. It's just that universe didn't exist back then.
No,
it didn't exist at all.
It did not. Pretty much everything I just said is just, that's crazy. Nobody would have guessed any of that. Like, that's just crazy. The whole playoff, maybe somebody would have guessed they go into the playoffs, but allowing 100 less goals this year, two goalies combining for, a major award that the Islanders haven't won in 35 whatever years, and hosting a playoff series for the first time in 31 years, it's all crazy, but it's all reality. Like, that's what I keep trying to, come to grips with. Like, how is this all possible? It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was actually kind of bittersweet last night, that the season came to an end, because the season's just been so enjoyable. And I know, the playoffs and this playoff run, if it happens, is what it's all about. But I was just having such a good time this whole season, turning things on the head, and now, ratchets up a little bit with the playoffs. But I was really just kind of soaked that all in, that craziness, watching them kind of snuff out the B team Capitals last night.
All of that was pretty much brought about by a 3-0 win over the Washington Capitals in the final game of the season, which is last night on Saturday night. I thought they played their game. I was kind of surprised that Barry Trotz didn't say we played our game after the game, because that was an Islanders game. I mean, the Caps had a lot of shots on goal, or they outshot the Islanders, I should say. It was a pretty low event game, all things considered. A bunch of guys were set, Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie, and John Carlson among them. But Ovechkin was still there, and a bunch of other guys were still there. But it was a pretty low event game, but the Islanders had the majority of the high danger chances, and it sure seemed like that. And they played really well. They got two goals from Valtteri Filppula, whose upper body injury was neither a shoulder nor nearly as severe as we all kind of thought when they told us he would be out for 4 weeks. He came back 2 weeks later. And he scored two goals. One of them was gorgeous off that feed from who was it? He fed it to Tom Kuhnhackl, and then Kuhnhackl gave it right back to him, and he just tipped it right in. That was a really neat kind of goal. You don't see too many of those sort of like full speed tip in deals, but it was good. And Robin Leonard picked up his team record. Well, I should say the team record 11th shutout. His sixth. And Thomas Greiss had five, and that is the most shutouts an Islanders goalie tandem has had ever in the history of this franchise, which is, I mean, in a season of unbelievable accomplishments, I feel like that might be the most unbelievable because, you know, I mean, especially back in the day, like the Islanders were not, I mean, Chico and Billy were so good for so long, you'd think that they would have had 11 shutouts in a season. Doesn't sound like that many, but so they set the record, and like, I feel like that's an amazing accomplishment that's kind of getting swept under the rug among all of the other amazing accomplishments.
Yeah, I think the reason that's flying under the radar is because of Barry Trotz, and people are kind of focusing on his effect rather than the fact that these two goalies have – who both have had moments in the NHL, but they neither one of them were ever what you would consider a bona fide starting goaltender in the league, and one of them just went through basically hell and back you know, a year ago. Yeah, and then the other one was terrible last year. Yeah. So definitely is up there. I think one of the most unbelievable parts of the year is the fact that the whole Islander fan base was counting down the seconds till Valtteri Filppulainen steps back on the ice, and then he scored twice.
Yeah, he scored two.
He's so good at he's got great hands. So he's not terribly quick anymore. He's smart and he's got great hands, and he's so good at no thought scoring chances, maybe it's the best way to put it, where it's just the puck, it hits a stick and it's either a deflection or a quick shot. And he's always found a way to score those for us, at least. I mean, I trust him in the slot, like basically more than anybody. Like if I see it's 51 and I think Cizikas is up there too, like I trust him a lot in these, like, we need this goal situation, right? And we have a scoring chance. It's going in the back of the net with Filppulainen, and that was awesome. He is something else, and I don't think I don't know if he's very good, but he has been very good for us.
I feel like he and Cizikas is a good point you brought up too. I feel like those two guys maybe are more sort of emblematic of how the Islanders got to this point overall. Because I was thinking about it, I was actually just watching some old Barry Trotz videos and post game press conferences and stuff, and I feel like this season is really a testament to, more than anything, just fundamentals and how important they are. And I feel like the Islanders got this far by playing in a way that they had not played for a very, very long time. And that way is just simple, kind of go to the net, you know, chipping in deep, smart hockey. And, like, you know, Filppulainen is that exact guy. Like, it's not even just where he is in the slot. It's like getting the puck back and, like, you know, keeping it deep. Like, this is all cliche, boring stuff that we're all sick of hearing all the time, but there's a reason it's a cliche. Like, it works. And when you know, if you get away from it for a shift or, you know, whatever, maybe a couple of minutes, you can get into trouble, and that's how you get hemmed in your own zone and you're just not doing anything. But when you do it for weeks at a time or years at a time, you aren't going to be successful. And I feel like the Islanders at this point, like, this is a complete change, 180-degree change from how they had played previously, because I don't remember them having – I mean, all right, they obviously didn't have Filppulainen at the time, but, I mean, they could have had any of these guys playing this way, but they didn't. It took this coaching staff and this guy – and, I mean, Cizikas, I guess, is in a way always been playing that way, which is why Barry Trotz said, you know, I wish – that line, a little bit of that line would rub off on everybody else, because they that's the way they're supposed to play. But I really feel like that's it. It's just the fundamentals. And it sounds boring, and it's, you know, kind of, I guess, you know, bottom line or, you know, lowest common denominator stuff. But that's the way I feel just watching them play. It is boring. I mean, if you see any of charts from our friend Cary Haber or other people, the Islanders always end up in the dull quadrant. And there's a reason for that. They can be kind of dull. And last night's game wasn't exciting, except for the fact that it was 1-0 for a long time, but that's just what it is. And you know, as we've said before, you really can't appreciate that unless you've watched them over the last 3, 4, 5 years where they didn't do that stuff, and you're just like, oh man, why can't they ever win this many games in a row, or why is it always like these losing streaks just go on and on and on? The Islanders went this entire season without a single three-game losing streak. They lost three games in a row a couple of times, but there was always like an overtime loss there or a shootout loss there. That's something that they haven't done ever also in their entire franchise history, and it's just crazy, and it's all because, you know, simple plays by people like Valtteri Filppula that make all the difference. And, you know, again, I wish we had seen this before, but I guess it took all that to get to this point, in which case it's been a lot of fun watching this season.
I'm doing some work for work on the NHL playoffs, and so I've been just reading about the Dallas Stars a little bit in earlier this morning, and after their second game, after their 82nd game, it was an article on The Athletic by Sean Shapiro about how what Jim Montgomery like reflected, just some reflections on the season, and he said that he met with Jamie, you know, those Stars like management and leadership meetings that at one point ended up in the owner talking, you know, a ton of shit about Ben and Sagan. But yeah. This meeting came up with the fruit of this meeting was that the Stars wanted to play towards their identity. And that is obviously another hockey cliche that we hear all the time and we make fun of it. But in that same article, he said that they looked at the New York Islanders and they're like, look at what this team does. What they do is they don't try to be a team that they're not. And that is sounds so simple. But when you're playing a game that is on ice going 35 miles per hour around you, like it's so hard not to probably get caught up and to have that drilled into you to just like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be an A to B team. We're going to get the puck deep. We're going to make sure things are predictable and manageable because we're not good enough to play the way that, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs play or, you know, we, on the other side of the spectrum, like even the Boston Bruins. Sure, we want to we're kind of definitely venturing towards that, but they're still not good enough to play that crisp, you know, exit and entry game that the Bruins play so well. And it's worked. Like, I mean, and it worked for the Stars, and the Avalanche also said the same thing. Like the Islanders and Barry Trotz, I guess more so than, you know, the organization itself, but the Islanders have kind of turned the shift a little bit of, you know, from high event hockey is what we all want and what you should play. And that's the mark of a good team is a team that, you know, generates a ton of scoring chances and shot attempts to maybe, you know, there's, you know, the New Jersey Devils obviously did it and sent the league into a lockout back in, you know, the early aughts and late 90s. But like, there's something to be said, those teams had a ton of success. So what's wrong with just doing that? And there's really nothing. And listen, for as dull as the Islanders are labeled and this chart say they are, this has been the most enjoyable regular season of my life. So.
Oh, no. It's winning is fun. Like the games themselves might not be exciting, but the winning sure as hell is fun. And, you know, the thing about the Devils, too, that you bring up is interesting is like that the 95 team, like it's so the Devils won three cups between 95 and 2003. And all those teams weren't actually cut from the same cloth. That 95 team was exactly that defensive, you know, just stagnating, swarming, stifling style that, you know, didn't score a ton of goals. I mean, Claude Lemieux or whatever was their leading scorer, I think, that year in the playoffs and stuff. And actually, the Panthers the year after took what the Devils did and turned it up to 11. Like, those guys were boring. They were awful. But, you know, they beat the Penguins and a bunch of other teams on the way to Stanley Cup final and then never, you know, haven't gotten there again. We're going to talk a lot about the Panthers in a little bit. So whenever people complain about the Devils or mention the Devils' defensive style, I'm always like, dude, the Panthers were way worse. That we just forgot about them because they're the Panthers. But then, you know, what happened with the Devils is they eventually started adding people that could score goals. And, you know, the 2000 and 2003 teams were among the league leaders in scoring. Like, those two teams were very, very well balanced. I mean, Patrick Elias didn't score whatever 300, 400 some odd goals by accident. Like, they were really good. And so I would hope that in the future, although I'm not going to worry about that now, the Islanders would kind of take that and run with it. Like, okay, we've got the basis now for playing defensive hockey. We know we can do it, and we know how to do it, and we know we're going to win. Now it's time to add some goals. Now that's we're going to talk a lot more in the second half of this episode about the upcoming series of the Penguins. But that's obviously everybody's big concern is they're going to score enough goals. But you know their defensive work has been outstanding this year. And it's funny you mentioned identity because again I was looking at old Trotz quotes and I came across one that I had totally missed from when they beat the Penguins back on October 30th, and they were still kind of working out the kinks of the system. But he said, You can talk about an identity, but you have to do it in the room. You have to do it on the ice. I think the guys are starting to believe in each other and hold each other accountable, and that's what you want. You want them to take the ownership, and that's what we've talked about. Like, the accountability thing, nobody ever explains what it is until Trotz has explained what it is, which is like the guys are accountable to each other. They want to play for each other. But when he's like, you know, we could talk about an identity, but you actually have to do it. That's, you know, a huge thing that, again, previous Islanders teams would not have done. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, this is our identity. But their identity then changes the next game and then they lose. It's like it doesn't work that way. These guys have an identity. They're going to work you to death. They're going to stifle you to death. The goalies are going to be there. And, you know, maybe they win 3-2 or 2-1, but that's how they do it. And so that's what we're going to do. It's cool also that you bring up the Stars, because they are the ones who the Islanders obviously beat for the Jennings Trophy. Both teams were neck and neck, but the Stars had two games left, and they lost, I believe, 6-1 to or 6-2 to Chicago, which opened up a five-goal gap with the Islanders. And then the Islanders went out and got a shutout in their last game. I don't even know what the Stars did in their last game, but it doesn't really matter because they took home the Jennings Trophy. And the Islanders went from a team giving up 296 goals last season to 196 this year. The only team in the NHL to give up less than 200 goals. Trotz even said, the goalies get the award, but really it's a team award. And in the Islanders' case, I would think that Mitch Korn and Piero Greco should get as much of a slice of that Jennings Trophy loot as the goalies should, because they're without them, I don't think they do that. I mean, all things considered. So it's a huge thing. And obviously Robin Leonard, like, he went to the notes app on his phone and put out a tweet that I've never seen anybody do until
I had a little PTSD from that. I was like, oh no, not another.
Yeah,
note.
Me too. I'm like, oh, this usually means something bad, but I was reading. I'm like, oh, that was very nice of him to write. It was pretty good.
Did you the perfect encapsulation of this whole zeitgeist around this team is if you go to that tweet and you just open up the comments and you just read through those.
Do I have to?
Oh, they're beautiful. It's beautiful. It's great. That's what I'm saying. I think it's actually like the most heartwarming thread I've ever seen on Twitter. I was nervous. I was like, why?
Yeah, I know.
You know, because I responded to it and then I opened it up and I was like, oh my God, everyone feels the same way. You know, it's just all Islander fans just telling this guy he's their hero. Like, it's just if you read through them, and you know, I did this earlier in the morning, probably like around 11 or 12 a.m. So, you know, maybe some, you know, bad eggs have gotten in there since then, but I don't think so. It's totally worth it to just check out how much this guy has meant to this fan base and the team. And you can just tell, like, this is totally an anomaly in sports and basically the universe, like what's going on with this guy. He is just something. He's really, really special.
Yeah. No, it's remarkable. I mean, I'm sure when he signed that bargain basement contract with the Islanders, he did not expect to, you know, win an award, let alone two. I mean, I would think one of the front runners for the Masterton Trophy at this point, and rightfully so. I mean, considering all he's done. So here's a guy who had no contract on July 1st, and he's going to walk away with a couple of pieces of hardware and hopefully an extension that he stays with the Islanders, because he's having a good time. That's pretty obvious. And if you saw his comments about playing in Buffalo, you would know that he's having a much better time here than he was in up there for sure. But before that game, the Islanders also had two other games this week. Just prior to the game against the Caps on Thursday night, they played in Florida. They won a shootout 2-1 over the Panthers. Brock Nelson with the regulation goal and then the only goal in the shootout. Litterbox Cats, our colleagues on SB Nation, said the Panthers got the full Nelson. And I don't know if we used that, but we probably should have. That was good. You know, it was huge. It secured 2 points when teams like the Hurricanes and Penguins were also winning. So the fact that they won in a shootout really didn't matter at that point. And it got the Islanders to 101 points. And Eric Hornick said that getting 101 points in that game, going into the final game, was the first time the Islanders had gone into a game with over 100 points in God knows however many years, which is pretty remarkable. They played really well in that Florida game, too. And they outshot the Panthers 29-22. And, I mean, yeah, the Panthers probably mailing it in. But that was a pretty good performance. Although, you know, again, once they had trouble solving a goalie, Sam Montembeau, didn't he shut the Islanders out, I feel like, last season? Wasn't that something that happened? I feel like he had done something again, or maybe this season he was just outstanding. And people are like, who the hell is this guy? And I'm like, didn't the Islanders lose to this guy earlier this season? Like, he's pretty good. But I don't
know. I can't remember. I tend to block last season out as much as I can.
The Panthers today made some news by firing coach Bob Bugner and their power play coach, whose name I can't remember now. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And apparently you're very close to bringing in Joel Quenneville, which would be kind of a huge get for them, obviously. And also, according to the New York Post's own Brett Sigalas, possibly even Garth Snow. I am not making that up. I will put that tweet in the notes for this. So, yeah, you get Coach Q. You get GM Snow. I don't know what that means. good for the Jack Capuano, not fired, by the way. Jack Capuano is still on staff down there, at least as of right now. So, man, that'd be something. I don't know. I mean,
just seeing if first of all, I think Capuano for all his mishaps as a head coach, I can't picture, like, he's a perfect assistant coach in like a small market team, especially one in Florida. I mean, Jack, you look at him, you're like, this guy looks like he belongs in Florida. That's just a perfect spot. He should just be like their assistant coach in emeritus or whatever from now until he hangs him up. That's a lot to unpack.
It is
the Garth Snow thing. I don't. God bless the Panthers and stuff. I don't know.
I think Snow could potentially fill the role maybe that George McPhee held with him when he, you know, was GM of the Islanders, where, you know, you kind of have this other guy who's been a GM to bounce ideas off of, because, I mean, Dale Talon is still going to be there. I can't imagine Talon goes to, like, president or something and maybe installs Snow as a GM, although now that I think about it, I guess I could see that with the passing of Bill Torrey. That'd be kind of interesting. But the Panthers are in need of a shakeup. I mean, we've seen what happened with the Islanders. Another team in desperate need of a shakeup last year. They got one, and it's worked out pretty well. And, you know, a lot of people are like, why would Joel Quenneville want to go to a team like the Panthers? I mean, they're kind of, they haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. Even the Islanders haven't, you know, made the playoffs, didn't go 10 years without going to the playoffs. Their longest was 7. But they were a really high-scoring team this year, so I wonder if Coach Q is thinking what Barry Trotz was thinking, which was, hey, if I could teach these guys to play some defense, they might be pretty good. So I don't know. I could see Capuano definitely in Florida, like you said. I agree. I don't know if Coach Q is necessarily a Florida guy. It's a little too much like Chicago in him, I guess, but St. Louis in him. But we'll see what happens. Should be pretty interesting the next couple of days. Probably by the time you listen to this on Monday, there will have been an announcement or two already. Prior to that Panthers game, the Islanders hosted their final regular season home game at the Coliseum. Turned out to be a 2-1 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. John Tavares, of course, scoring the what turned out to be the game-winning goal. You know, the Islanders, I reminded me of a line from Barry Trotz earlier in the season, which was, you know, they maybe didn't play well enough to lose, but they definitely didn't play well enough to win. Or didn't play bad enough to lose, but definitely didn't play well enough to win. They kind of turned it on halfway through the third period, but at that point it was too late. You know, things got kind of dicey, but at least the Caps lost that day, so it wasn't too bad. Were you at that game? Or, you know, did you get in there? Yeah.
Yeah, so I was there, and it was a strange thing. as much as that first game was just all about catharsis and, you know, very therapeutic, that game was much more closure. I mean, like we keep saying, like, over time, things will, you know, and with the Tavares stuff will die down. And actually, you know, looking back, hindsight being what it is, like, I'm not terribly upset that he scored that goal, just because it was like the Band-Aid coming off moment.
His celebration was very John Tavares, by the way. Didn't sort of like put his arm up and that was it.
Yeah, and it was a great shot. I mean, he actually played a really good game too. He was really, really good that entire game. I still hate his guts, but he was just like, he winning faceoffs and just was just a presence anytime he was on the ice. It was funny. I expected the atmosphere to be much more of like a celebratory mood because they had just clinched that Saturday, but it just, people are still, I think, a little like just apprehensive about who was the opponent was. Either way, the big takeaway I took from it was that they didn't play their best game and they still only lost a game. They had a chance to send that game to overtime, which just goes to show you the type of, you know, the type of how tough they make it to gain an inch against them. Like the Leafs were the better team that night. The Islanders lost 2-1 and had 2 point-blank chances at the end to send that game to overtime. With the actual like gameplay wasn't terribly encouraged, but the like as a sum of all its parts, like as part of the big picture, I thought that game actually was good. And I thought the whole run up to the playoffs, the Leafs game, then the Panthers and Capitals. Like, these, I think they were great tune-up games in some respect. Like, the Panthers game, same thing. Like, this team, they I think that they kind of did what the Leafs did to the Islanders, to the Panthers. Like, they were the better team. The Panthers just hung in the game. The Islanders couldn't score, which is, sure, it's a problem, but they were, that game was played on the Islanders' terms. The Panthers just kind of hung in there, and the Islanders were luckily able to win in the extra sessions. And then the same with the Capitals game. Like, that to me was like, I wish Barry Trotz and Todd Reirden had just like made a handshake agreement and just said, like, listen, like, this is just, nobody get hurt, and we'll just make sure you guys come out of this with the 2 points. It doesn't matter to us at all. So maybe let Ovechkin score goal number, whatever, and then we'll let you win. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like almost a scrimmage kind of game. It didn't seem like even the Islanders, they were doing it, but it didn't look like they were playing, 100% with like conviction, because I think, they were probably looking ahead to the playoffs. They're human beings. There's nothing wrong with that. But I thought they looked good, and against a B level, or not, I shouldn't call them the B team, but a severely weakened Capitals team. So I thought they just did what they were supposed to do. They took care of business, and that just generates, there's like some form building among the team.
Yeah.
They've been good. They've probably been good, I would say, since the past like 10 games, they've looked good. Like, which is exactly where you want to be going into the playoffs.
Even in a couple of losses, I mean, we talked about that Detroit game where they ran the Red Wings out of their own building and yet couldn't score a goal when they needed one, just to tie the game late, So yeah, they've played some good games. I mean, they did get shut out in those two games against the Bruins and Canadiens, but other than those two, they've played really well for a little while now. The thing with the Leafs game is, you could tell that the reception was a lot more muted, and I agree with you. Like, for all the faults of that game, they were only down 1-0 until about midway through the third period or something like that. So they could, or was it the second? I forget. But they could have come back and done it, but didn't. Again, it was a little bit too late. So I don't have a ton much more to say about it. But I did find it funny, and I really hope this is the last time we talk about the Leafs for the rest of the year. I did find it funny that the same day or the day after that game, Bryce Harper made his return to Washington as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. And I kept seeing all this stuff, Twitter moments and stuff like that. Oh my God, look at how he's getting booed. They're really booing him out there. It's crazy. The Nationals fans are really taking it out on Harper. And every video I watched, I was like, really? That's it? Like, maybe it's because it's an open air stadium, but I'm like, that doesn't sound like a ton of booing. It sounds like the normal amount of booing you would hear at a baseball game. I mean, I tweeted this too. I mean, A-Rod heard harder boos than that when he was playing for the Yankees, from Yankees fans. They booed him harder than that. Like, I don't know. To me, I was like, man, you guys, if you think that's a lot of booing, go back and watch the first Tavares game, because that's a lot of booing. This is not much. And of course, Bryce Harper ended up hitting a home run, and the Phillies won like 6-2 or something like that. And by the end of it, the whole stadium was filled with Philly fans anyway, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
But I just find it was kind of and of course, Harper was like, he was getting into it. He's like, I know they can boo me. I got all these people back in Philly cheering me, blah, blah. And I'm not saying that, like, John Tavares needs to be kind of a cocky douche like Bryce Harper. A great player, but let's be honest, he's kind of a cocky douche. But it just is funny to me how, like, people can be very different and take a very similar situation and be very different than that is. But
it was hard not to draw the parallel between those two games. And the thing that I thought the best part was, like, the Nationals Twitter was getting in on it. Like, Harper struck out in his first at bat and whatever. Like, and it's like, I just think it's so funny the way that two completely different sports, obviously, like, baseball is much more elevated than hockey. I wouldn't say baseball is like hugely popular right now in like the sports sphere, but like, it's on ESPN. It gets Harper gets a lot of eyeballs. Everyone in the world knows who he is. And it was more, it was like a celebration of sports fanaticism. The Islanders, it was like Darren Drager's only two tweets that night were about the cops and added security. So, like, it's just like unbelievable that the if you wanted to just know, you know, a very quick surface level frustration, you just look at the those two games and how their respective sports medias treated them. You're like, all right, I guess that makes a little bit more sense than why you guys hate everybody so much.
Well, but it's funny. Again, you mentioned that, but it is, you know, it is about sports fanaticism but for whatever reason, like that whole thing, I guess because, you know, I guess Leafs fans I saw on Twitter was still giving Islanders fans a lot of garbage for, you know, the way they treat Tavares. And it's for whatever reason I had totally forgotten about, and maybe you might remember this too. Like when Matt Martin first came back as a member of the Leafs to the Coliseum or to center, the team gave him a tribute video and people gave him like a standing ovation, like a large round of applause, and he applauded. And I remember seeing a lot of Leafs fans on Twitter also being like, why are they giving him this kind of ovation? He was just a goon. Like, I don't understand. His Corsi 4 was only 47-point-something%, and he only scored X amount of goals or whatever. And, you know, people like myself were like, you don't understand. Like, this guy loved being an Islander, and he's a huge part of the community. And we loved him. We loved the way he played, and he just represented the team so well. And I think eventually they kind of came around and kind of understood. But a lot of them were very confused as to why Islanders fans would be so excited to see Matt Martin again, because he's Matt Martin, you know. Then fast forward 2 years, Tavares leaves after telling us he wants to stay. He comes back and we boo him, and all these same Leafs fans are like, why are they booing this guy? I don't understand. He's such a hero to them. I don't get it. Why? And it's like, the more I thought about it, the more I started getting angry, and I just realized that they just don't get us. Like, they're never going to get us. They don't want to get us, and it's just going to be this way forever. And it's just, I really wish they would kind of stop trying to analyze what we do, because we're outside of their realm or their scope of understanding. Like, it's just they're never going to get it, because they don't care. They don't see us as like fans on equal footing of them. We're not equal. They look down on us. They don't get us. And it's just the way it is. And I feel like, you know, we don't need to justify ourselves or explain ourselves to them. Just do what we want to do. And we're going to boo the people who we want, and we're going to cheer who we want, when we want, how we want, and that's just how it's going to be. And just because they're like, Canada has three sports networks, two of which are catered to wiping the asses of Joe Leafs fan, or wiping the ass of Joe Leafs fan, doesn't mean we have to too. Like, I just don't get why they don't understand us, and they don't want to understand us, but that's the way it's going to be. So, yeah, enough already.
Yeah, that's just like changing gears a little bit. Like, I was watching the NHL schedule announcement thing, and I'm not criticizing the show at all, because they glossed over every series quickly, but it was just like funny the way that, you know, they treated the Islander Penguin series. It was almost like, you know, there was nothing, there was no, you know, I can't believe, you know, the Islanders did this or anything. It was very just matter of fact, and right. And I just was like, I'm very excited for the first of all, the 2 days today, or tomorrow being Monday and Tuesday, are going to be awesome. There's no better 2 days to be a hockey fan than to the first 2 days, the 2 days before the playoffs start, because then it's just obviously, you know, you just go into playoff mode, and it's, you know, a terrible, terrible existence. But those 2 days when you're just looking forward to it and you're thinking about like how the series might unfold are just so great, because you can just revel in the fact that you're in the dance. I'm very excited to see how the Islanders are treated by the kind of more surface level, like the national media. We've already seen, like, I think one Pittsburgh like newscaster,
yeah,
already like, you know, trolled the Islanders a little bit.
First mute of the playoffs for me. So there you go.
But I just think it's gonna be funny, because this, I don't think any. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the season with the betting markets. Like, I don't think anybody truly knows how to quantify the Islanders as a team, just because of their stat profile and the way they play and their goaltending. And the odds right now, I think, they had the Penguins at -135 to win the series, which is like makes it a 55% chance. That's kind of what I expected. I expected to be like in that range. But I think that just shows oddsmakers' hands and the general kind of like this general narrative is going to be, this is very close to a coin flip, but just because the Penguins are the Penguins and the Islanders are the Islanders, we're going to give the edge to the Penguins, which I think is kind of appropriate for what the season is. It's like The only people who know what the Islanders are the people that have been paying attention, the Islander fans and the team and the coach and the GM. Like, we know what the Islanders are. A lot of people don't. And hopefully they find out for the next 2 months.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that playoff series and how both teams stack up right after these messages. Okay, so the Islanders are in fact going to face the Pittsburgh Penguins in game one at Nassau Coliseum on Wednesday. This is a matchup of the second and third teams in the Metropolitan Division, and the Islanders and Penguins obviously have a history. The Islanders have beaten, they've met in the playoffs four times. The Islanders have beaten the Penguins three times. A lot of that's kind of ancient history. The Penguins obviously have won the most recent series back in 2013, the lockout year. You know, we've been saying before that we kind of feel like the Islanders matched up pretty well with the Penguins. That doesn't mean to say that I think either of us think this series is going to be easy, because I'm sure it is not. Obviously, you know, I think what you're saying, I agree with you. Like, I would, if I was an odds maker, I would also probably give the Penguins the edge. I mean, they've got more Stanley Cup winners on that team than the Islanders do, although the Islanders do have one from them, and Tom Kuhnhackl, who's probably going to get a lot of time in the playoffs too. We'll see. But, you know, I do think that I was kind of dreading the idea. I was really pulling for the Penguins to win that game against the Rangers on Saturday, because had they lost, it would have meant the Islanders would have played the Carolina Hurricanes. And I was really, really dreading that, because I really feel like the Islanders would have had their hands full with that really speedy Carolina team.
Yeah, and we'd have to see all the NHL media members who bought their Bunch of Jerks t-shirt. Yeah. You know,
yeah. No, thanks. I mean, again, good luck to the Hurricanes. They're playing the Capitals. You know, we'll see what happens. I think ultimately the Caps probably win that series, but I think the Hurricanes are going to give them all they can handle for sure. But I just think the Islanders, you know, the way they play is just a grinding, slow, dull, you know, defensively responsible game. And I feel like the Penguins can be beaten. Again, it's going to take a lot of work, and, you know, there's no guarantee that the Islanders do that. But I do think they match up pretty well, as long as they can keep a couple of those bigger guns in check. You know, I'm going to be having nightmares about Sidney Crosby, I guess, for the next couple of weeks. But I guess that's how it goes. That means you're in the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah. I think actually the way this podcast started was you and I were just kind of emailing back and forth about, like, the general feelings of anxiety you get from a playoff series. And I think that was the Capitol series, I believe, that we did it on. But – yeah, and all I've been thinking about when I don't even remember who scored that goal last night. I think it was like Jake Guentzel, because he scores every goal. But whoever scored that goal to tie it up against the Penguins, I celebrated it, and I realized, like, in the back of my head, I was like, you don't want to do that. Like, that's a little bit, you know, don't want to tip your hands to the hockey gods too much that you're rooting for the Islanders to play Sidney Crosby in the playoffs. But like you, like, I just think it's like we know what the Penguins are. They're kind of a known commodity. The Hurricanes could be shot out of a slingshot into the playoffs and just steamroll teams until they get to the Lightning. And that's why I'm not confident that the Islanders would win, but I'd much rather a coin flip with the Penguins than I would with the Hurricanes, just because I think the Islanders are built to take the unpredictability and chaos out of games. And they should be able to do that against Pittsburgh. And they are a hardworking team, and the Islanders, like, if they get to work against the Penguins defense, which is definitely their weak spot, especially with Letang and Dumoulin kind of not at 100%. Like,
and Olimata too was recently hurt. I think he's back or is hurt or something like that.
They've had a litany of injuries, especially in the last month. And, you know, if the Islanders get their guys, you know, in deep against Eric Woodbranson and Johnson, like, this is that's a good matchup for them. There was no shame in rounding to play the Penguins and the Hurricanes, I don't think. But that being said, like, it's going to be a really, really hard series to win.
Yeah.
I'm generally terrified of every team in the NHL, but, like, knowing that Chris Letang is going to be skating around pissing everybody off for the next, you know, 2 weeks is not fun to think about.
Yeah. I think that, well, first of all, I'm kind of glad the Islanders had that. They got the win against the Caps, and so that now they can have like three optimistic, restful practice days that they were off today, but they can get two good practices in before the series that I think are going to be pretty important. But also, they need to work on their special teams. Like that's the thing that really kind of has me worried. We've talked about how bad the Islanders' power play is. It is absolutely pitiful. They're 29th in the league. They, you know, it's cost them untold amounts of points this year. I mean, I feel like they were 0-3 on the power play against the Panthers, that game we talked about before. And so, I mean, they could have probably gotten a win in regulation had they scored on one of those goals, one of those power plays. They were, I think, 0-2 on the power play against the Leafs. Or actually, they had back-to-back power plays, now I think about it, in one period against the Leafs and didn't do anything of note on either of them. And so that's going to be huge, obviously. But also, their penalty killing is only kind of middle of the pack. And, you know, those of us, and I know you remember, and I remember back when that 2013 series happened, and the penalty kill was the death of the Islanders. Now, this Islanders' penalty killing is a million times better than that one was. But still, you know, you don't want to give them too many chances on the power play, and you definitely don't want to, you know, waste those opportunities. They did have a couple of good kills against the Caps yesterday, again, minus Backstrom and Oshie and those guys. So there's a chance there that they can turn it up. I mean, again, middle of the road is better than bad, but that to me is where this is all going to come in. And, you know, a power play goal here and a penalty kill there could really make the difference in the series. I know that's, again, a cliche, but I feel like it's going to come down to something like that, you know, where it's going to be like, oh, but if they had just scored on that one power play, or if they just, you know, they came 10 seconds from killing that one penalty, that would have made the difference in the series. And so that's what I'm a little bit afraid of, although I'm basically afraid of the whole thing, like you said. But I really think it's going to come down to that.
Yeah, there's definitely a pretty straightforward way to, I want to say, to beat the Penguins, because it won't, you know, you can't just say, all right, go do this and you'll win. But, you know, I think the top of the list is, you just, you know, you don't take penalty, they'll happen. But if you take a needless penalty against this team, you are just asking for it. I haven't looked it up yet, but I will. Anecdotally, I was pretty thrilled with the way the Islanders, like their discipline. It looks like, yeah, they were about, yeah, middle of the road. Them and the Penguins were very close,
penalties,
actually. Yeah, in terms of total times, they were shorthanded. But even so, like, this, you trust someone like Barry Trotz and the staff to basically drill it into them. Like, listen, you're not going to win a special team series against them. In fact, you know, Josh Bailey and Cizikas and Matt Martin could tell you exactly how that special team series against the Penguin will turn up. turn out, because even though you maybe were the better team, you will lose. And that general feeling of killing off when your team's killing a penalty, it feels like the penalty lasts between 6 and 8 minutes, as opposed to when the Islanders are on the power play, it feels like it's, you know, 45 seconds. When you're playing the Penguins in the playoffs, and Sidney Crosby is on the half wall with the puck, you're like, this penalty kill has lasted 3 days. I don't know what to do. Yeah. But, yeah, that's got to be just agenda item number one, is you do not give them the opportunity on more than you don't give them any opportunities on the power play. That is the goal. If you do that, the Islanders, this should have some success.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, I think, and the other thing too is, you know, how well are the goalies going to hold up? Robin Leonard is his first time in the playoffs, which is remarkable. I mean, not remarkable, I guess, considering the teams he played on. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how well he does. You know, sometimes goalies get hot. They get in the playoffs and all of a sudden, you know, they want to make the most of the opportunity. Thomas Greiss obviously straight up stole a playoff series a couple of years ago against the Florida Panthers. He and John Tavares basically ripped that playoff series right out of Florida's hands. So both of these guys, you know, it's good to have two guys that have that ability, or at least, you know, have had these kinds of seasons. The Penguins obviously have Matt Murray, who's won two Stanley Cups for them, and then Casey DeSmith, who's played a lot this year because Murray was hurt for a while. He had a concussion for a little bit, and I mean, he's had a good season for sure, but, you know, maybe not the kind of season you expect Matt Murray to have had at this point. And but DeSmith looked like he's pretty good too. So it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, I keep saying, like, I think they match up pretty well. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's great having Game 7 at the Coliseum. But at the same time, I could totally see the Penguins winning a game there to seal a playoff series, because they've done that before. Like, we've seen that before, and the Coliseum was a great place to watch a game. I don't feel like, though, this is one of those situations where, even though it was only 6 years ago, none of that of either of those two teams applies to these teams. You know, like, although Crosby and Malkin and I'm sure a bunch of other guys were on that Penguins team, that team was not what this team is right now. That was before they won two more Stanley Cups. And obviously the Islanders are two coaches and a million degrees changed from the team that, you know, couldn't stop a beach ball in that series before, you know, kind of bowing out in six games. So I don't think it's that relevant, and I hate that I've already referenced it a bunch of times here, but it's nice that these are two kind of age-old rivals. Like, these are two teams that, if you look at the list of matchups this year, you know, it's Washington versus Carolina, Columbus versus Tampa Bay. Obviously, you've got Bruins and Leafs, but, you know, Islanders-Penguins is a rivalry that goes way back, and I think, like, people are going to be ready for it. I do have one request, though, of people listening to this. If we're going to taunt the Penguins, and I expect that as Islanders fans we are, please don't use Cindy Crosby as, like, a pejorative or, like, an insult, because it's incredibly lame and incredibly stupid and basically very offensive. So just don't do it. Like, you know, come up with something better. This dude's been in the league for 15 years now. We can do better than Cindy. Like, it's just not – we don't need it. Come up with something better. We'll go from there. But I'm sure the Coliseum crowd, all 13,000 people, are going to make it sound a very unwelcome place for the Pittsburgh Penguins for hopefully not too many games, because the Islanders, you know, can maybe finish things up in five games and we can all move on. It'd be pretty cool. But we'll see. Yeah. And if you have tickets for PJ Masks live on Friday, I'm very sorry, but that performance has now been swapped. It has been swapped out. So you'll have to take it up with your ticket rep, I guess.
Another great thing about the playoffs is the 2 weeks before the games are set and the match was set, people start to try to figure out. I mean, I was doing it too, when the Islanders were playing.
Right.
PJ Mask being the thing that might be keeping the Islanders from having like a normal schedule was pretty funny. And yeah. I spoke to a source that said that basically, will the Islanders, you know, is there a chance they play back to back? Because I thought, you know, as annoying as that might be, it was probably an advantage for them, given of how well they played on back to backs and the fact that they could play both goalies and you know, there's no real dip in from one goalie to the other. But that decision, I think, apparently was reportedly coming down to Lamoriello and the league. And I thought maybe Lou would be like, you know what? Yeah, maybe we will play a back-to-back and force the Penguins into a weird situation. But I don't think the league, you know, would have allowed that to happen. And
You're saying that Lou Lamoriello has done what Romeo and Night Ninja and Luna Girl have not been able to do, which is stop the PJ Masks cold in their tracks?
Yes, exactly.
I guess. And if you have absolutely no idea what I just said, that means that you probably don't have kids and you should be enjoying your freedom as we speak, because I know exactly what I just said. Any parent knows exactly what I said. And to be honest, PJ Masks, it's not that bad a show. My daughter liked it when it first came out. She's a little bit older for that now. Now she prefers Disney Channel shows with like live actors in it. So it's kind of that transition period from, you know, cartoons to live action shows. She's had some PJ Masks. There's definitely some PJ Masks toys in my house right now.
What you're saying, like, about the Coliseum, I think that is the one constant, and it wasn't even a constant, between the 2013 series and the and this one coming up is the Coliseum crowd is going to be. I mean, that series was so much fun to be in that building. I think I was in there I was working with Fischler, so I was in that building, you know, for every minute of that series. I was in the building for hours before every game, and I actually went up to Pittsburgh for 1 and 2, and I remember every second. It feels like it was yesterday, that series, honestly. But even though it's now 5 years, it's really strange. But that Penguins team back then was like a lot more. I'm not gonna say goonish, but they just had much more hateable, punchable faces on that team than they do right now. Because the Penguins have just been so far out of our reach. Like, that was back in 2013 was really the last, the last time they were kind of in our universe. Because obviously when they played they played the Capitals, they would and they got eliminated in the first round, so they never got a chance to meet them. But we hung with them that year in that 2013 series, and since then it's just for basically every season. The Penguins have been 30 points ahead of the Islanders from October on. So
right, yeah.
I've always loved to hate the Penguins, and that feeling will be fun to have back. Now I hope the series is exciting in a good way, and we can really start to hate those guys again.
And it goes both ways too. They hate the Islanders also, and I'm sure that there are some old ass Penguins fans out there that remember, you know, David Volek and Brian Trottier or John Tinelli and all those other guys, you know, that sunk the Penguins earlier. One thing that I think is going to be interesting too for this playoff series and others is that, again, like I mentioned before, the Islanders never had a 3-game losing streak this year. I mean, they had a couple of 3-game streaks where they would win a game in overtime or something like that. So I'm kind of interested to see, because when they lose games, they generally bounce back. I mean, again, we talked about the two back-to-back shutouts, which was a bit of an anomaly for them. Normally they bounce back. So I'm kind of interested to see how they can pull that off in the playoffs. You know, I mean, they're going to lose a game at some point to the Penguins. And, you know, I'm almost interested to see what happens in the next game, you know, how they come out and how they address it. And I feel like Trotz will have them ready. I feel like Anders Lee will have them ready. And I feel like, you know, the guy I want to, that this is not obviously a giant leap or anything, but I'm going to be interested to see how Barzal handles this, because he's never been in the playoffs before, especially against Sidney Crosby, who's one of his idols. He's had a good season, obviously, but not a great season, not as good as the season he had to win the Calder Trophy offensively. But I mean, his defense has come a long way, and he's going to be targeted for sure by these Penguins. So I'm interested. He's the number one guy I'm going to keep. Not that I wouldn't anyway, but I think he's the number one guy I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for, to see if he can elevate things and take that 200-foot game, add some more of the offensive, you know, powers to it that we saw last year, and maybe make this, you know, a big coming out party for him after last year. I think he's kind of faded back into the background a little bit with the Islander success. I think this might be the year that people are like, oh, right, I forgot Matt Barzal is really, really, really good. And, you know, when he starts turning heads on MSNBC or CNBC or wherever they throw the Islanders. I guess actually, MSG is for us.
They're playing them on NBC Sports.
Oh, really?
For the first four games.
Oh, I forgot to mention, game three is at noon next Sunday, so a week from today at noon. So, yeah, that'll definitely be on NBC.
Yeah. But I think the funny Barzal kind of thing is that remember that during the All-Star game, he played with Crosby and Letang, and those two guys were just gushing
right.
about him.
Yeah.
It was very strange and kind of weird. I almost thought it was like, and I said on that when we talked about that, players of other teams have talked about other Islanders before, mostly Tavares, and then that weird Mark Scheifele has like a Josh Bailey fetish, but that's a great video. But you know, as always, Tavares is, you know, hardworking. He just wants to outwork you and loves hockey more than anyone. And then with Barzal, Crosby and Letang were like just mesmerized by the guy. Mm-hmm. So I think their game plan will be to, you know, when Eric Branson is on the ice with Matt Barzal, he's going to, you know, try to be a nightmare against him and be rough. And I think that. You know, that's what I would do. So if I was a Penguins, I don't think, you know, there's anything, you know, wrong with that and trying to make, you know, his life a little bit of a living hell during the series. But, you just got to be ready for that. I think but the thing is, the Islanders have a coach who was thinking ahead to those types of things, being like, all right, Matt, like, don't do it again. Evgeny Malkin is like, his one flaw is that you can goad that guy into taking the penalty. The Penguins could draw a penalty. You can slash Malkin in the skate on your way to the box, and he will do something stupid. And even the manpower, Matt Barzal just, and he's been really good about it too. It just can't. So this isn't, you know, too big a concern, but I'm sure Trotz will talk to him and say, like, you know, just don't get goaded into taking stupid penalties if Eric Goodbranson is, you know, bear hugging you after every whistle. So, but those moments are coming, and I'm excited for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Barzal can have that fiery temper, but, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting, too, because these two coaches, I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact that Trotz finally beat the Penguins last year.
Yeah, you think we hate the Penguins. There's one person on Long Island who hates the Penguins more than we do,
and
it's Barry Trotz.
Yeah, right. And don't think that Mike Sullivan doesn't want to get his revenge on Barry Trotz for beating him and maybe, you know, taking another Stanley Cup out of his cabinet, too. So It's going to be interesting. I'm interested to hear what, I mean, not that it will tell us, but I'm interested to see what kind of, you know, lessons Trotz took away from that series and that he can impart on the Islanders. Because, I mean, again, as great as this Islanders season has been, you know, the Caps had a lot of weapons last year that the Islanders simply don't have. So it'll be interesting to see how he takes those lessons and transfers them. Whereas for Mike Sullivan, you know, he knows Barry Trotz from Washington. I don't know how well he knows Barry Trotz from the Islanders. And the Islanders did beat the Penguins in back-to-back games early in November. The Penguins, I think, won the other two games this season. Did the Islanders win another one? I forgot now. I think they're 2-2 this season, but I might be wrong about that. But yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how these you know coaches especially take.
I know now I'm bringing up the 2013 series again, but that series, the Islanders' defense consisted of Mark Streit, and then after him, it was Andrew McDonald, Matt Harkner, Brian Strait. Like that, they had that was Wisnowski and Streit were basically the only, and Hamonic. They were basically it. Like that, they had two or three good defensemen in that series. Ryan Pulock is great. Like at this point, like I have no problem with Barry Trotz. Hopefully, he already had the conversation with him saying, "You're going to be the guy against Crosby. Like it's you. You're going to be Sid's blanket." And then they got Devon Taves, who made probably the pass of the season, last night. On the second
was the first goal.
That pass was just out of this world. So, yeah, I mean they the defense is really just good. Scott Mayfield, my heart sunk yesterday when he took that shot off his skate and missed a little time. But like their defense is in really good shape to Crosby. Obviously, Crosby's another level, but like they can handle that kind of workload. The 2013 team, Matt Harkner was playing against Sidney Crosby. So like it's crazy to say, but the New York Islanders, without John Tavares and with everything that happened in the summer, are now basically in an even series with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, this is a level playing field that we'd be playing on.
Well, and let's not forget that the goalie for that was the old professor, Evgeny Nabokov, and now the Islanders have the Jennings Trophy winning
Tomas Vokoun. You think about that series, like Fleury and Nabokov were so bad. But the reason that the Penguins won was that they were able to put Vokoun in after both goalies let up four goals in the first two periods of every game. Vokoun and Kevin Poulin would come in, and obviously Tomas Vokoun would win that battle.
Was he in net when they won Game 6? Was it Vokoun?
I'm pretty sure.
We
always give credit to Nabokov for playing so well down the stretch. He just ran out of gas, and the Islanders just didn't have a second option at that point. Right. So,
They barely had a first option.
Like, yeah, exactly. He was just gassed.
Pretty much. And see, now I got to look this up.
If you look up those YouTube videos and you watch like the guy when the Islanders won Game 4, like every goal that went in that game was just soft.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, for the whole thing. So I'm looking right now, and Tomas Vokoun. Look at that, he got the win. How about that? Amazing. I had totally forgotten about that. That was Game 6.
Yeah, he was the difference.
Wow. Jeez. Okay. Well, there you go. So we're going to have to see.
But that's why we're saying, like, this is not going to be that kind of series. Like, that series was drunk, very drunk. This one is going to be, hopefully, if the Islanders have their way, this series is going to be a lot more traditional.
Yeah, I mean, it would be funny to see this be like the exact opposite of that series, and it's like teams just trade 1-0 wins, you know, and so, until somebody gets to Game 7 and wins it, you know, to be the exact opposite of every game being 6-5, or that game was actually 4-3. That was one of the lowest scoring games of that series. I remember the Penguins won two of those games 6-0, so that was, what a wild, there's a book to be written about that series. That's crazy. We know the opponent, we know the schedule, we know the places, and the Twitter beef has already started between the Islanders and Penguins Twitter feeds. Again, another one in Long Island.
Yeah, I think
come
they did
on,
that. They,
guys,
they did that
they're paying you good money. Give me a break. Yeah, which they had to have. Jeez. give me a break.
I thought I was happy that most people were there was no I guess, making fun of Islander fans because getting home ice advantage was such a big – like, that is a footnote for most successful franchises.
Right.
That's what they're – yeah, that's what they're expected. Supposed to do.
Yeah.
This is what, that was a gigantic deal for everybody. I was so happy. I mean, just
– yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time in my life that the Islanders are hosting a game one.
I mean, and again, considering where they came from, where we were – I mean, a year ago, obviously, the season had ended and – you remember they had the weird press conference with Ledecky and Snow and Waite, and just you know, everything was kind of at an all time low, and then all of a sudden things started turning around, and here we are a year later, and oh, by the way, the Islanders finished the season with 3 more points than the Toronto Maple Leafs, so there you go. just want to throw that out there. Almost totally forgot. Not that it means anything. I'm just, you know, just want to make sure that everybody remembers that. Okay. So, yeah. So, we haven't figured out how we want to hang with this schedule, but, you know, we'll get together, I guess, next Sunday. We can't do anything. Maybe probably after game 3, I guess we'll talk and, see where the series is at that point and, figure out where to go from there. How's that
sound? Yeah. I can't believe it. I just can't believe this is happening. probably hit me on Tuesday, right. I think. I had such a good time going to Pittsburgh for those first 2 games of the series back in 2013. Pittsburgh's a really kind of fun place to spend a weekend. It's pretty easy city to get around. There's actually a lot to do, and tickets I don't think look too expensive on their side because, like we just kind of said, like it's expected for the Penguins to be there, so it's not that big a deal when they make the playoffs, where here it's much different, and it's, you know, cost you an arm and a leg to get into the building. But yeah, I haven't decided yet. I think I'm going to definitely do my best to get to at least one road game for all 4 series.
Jeez. All right. I'm not ready to take that step yet, but by all means, God bless. go for it. Do it. All right. Well, let's I don't want to keep you from buying tickets online. So let's wrap this baby up you know, get to playoff dreaming. Sneakyathletic.com is your place to get some cool Islanders gear. They got the GOAT, they got the Fort Never Lose. Probably a little late to get stuff by Wednesday, but if you type in anxiety in the discount code box, you can save 10%. That's sneakyathletic.com. Get on it, because there's going to be some playoff games at the Coliseum, so it's pretty awesome. This week's NHL names, NHL name of the week is
blue line by Marcus Pettersson, rolls on edge.
Marcus Pettersson of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It is very hard to find a Penguin that we don't already know. Marcus Pettersson was acquired from Anaheim this year, so he's new. So he's not like a rookie that they called up from Wilkes-Barre or something. He's pretty good. Like he's been okay, but he's old. Like he's, you know, or at least, you know, older. He's been around a little. So, yeah, NHLnames.com. Check it out. It's by our friends Travis and John. Did a great job this year, so it's been pretty cool. What else? Anything else? Am I missing something? Listen to Dan and Noel, Isles Buzz. They had a great episode last week, and you should always check them out. And read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. It's going to be some cool stuff. Sounds like there's going to be some cool stuff happening over at The Athletic and our friend Arthur Staple. Tell everybody your Twitter handle again so they can follow you throughout the playoffs.
So the Big Lebowski with 2 E's.
You should definitely follow Mike at the Big Lebowski with 2 E's. There's going to be some great playoff reminiscing there, I'm sure, and some betting action for you if you want to take a look at that. And I don't know, what else? Any parting words before we get going on this thing?
No, I mean, it's just been a blast this regular season.
Yeah,
I'm just thrilled with how I keep I'll be walking to or from the train or wherever, and just like get caught up in like a moment and think about, you know, that just how great it's been. And so I appreciate this and everybody listening and interacting on Twitter and stuff. It's just been awesome.
This has been a much more enjoyable season than I think either of us could have ever hoped. And for sure, thanks to everybody for listening. It's been a great regular season, and we're going to be here throughout the playoffs. And then we got the draft and then the free agency and all that other stuff. So we'll be here. The fun, I forget what Islander said it, but, you know, now the fun starts. So there you go. It's going to be a good time. And
you know what else, actually, I should bring up that I'm excited is that the Islanders have made such a considered effort to bring back alumni since Ledecky and Malkin took over. Oh, wait. Also, I met John Ledecky at the Leafs game. I forgot.
Oh, Holy cow.
I just saw him on the inner concourse, and I just asked if I could give him a hug. He said, yeah, and that was, and I told him I loved him, and he said, I love you, and that was it.
That's amazing.
But, yeah, I was like, I just saw my dad and my brother. They were at the game in different seats, and then I turned around, and he was just, like, right there. Yeah. I'm excited to see, you know, who those, yeah. Do you remember they brought out Hideki Matsui he was at one of the Capitals games when the Islanders played the Capitals that series. And I just remember, like, looking up being like, that's Hideki Matsui, and thinking, like, why couldn't that be, you know, Sean Bates or Jason Blake or something? Mm. I mean, I love Matsui. He's the man. But and it was just, like, funny. And I'm excited to see, you know, they've obviously paid a lot more attention to that kind of stuff, because Islander fans, you know, love that. You know, they loved seeing Michael Pekka. We love seeing Michael Pekka on the Jumbotron. John Tonelli's been back. Like, I'm excited to see those kind of things now that those guys are in charge and have a better head for it than the prior regime. So, you know, it'll be cool to see, you know, what kind of stunts they pull out and what kind of people they bring back.
Tonelli, for sure, as you mentioned, has already been back. I expect he will be back as well. I expect Ed Westfall, who scored a goal against the Penguins to beat them 1 year. Chico Resch, I bet, would also be there after kissing his goalpost in that series against the Penguins. So that would be another one. And I don't know. Where is David Volek this year? Well, you never know. Yeah. Maybe he shows up for a little hex action.
Keith O'Coin.
I mean, Ray Ferraro would be the easiest, but he's probably got, like, his job to do, so that might be a little bit tough.
Yeah.
But I could see him showing up. That would be something. I would like to see him call a game.
It would be funny if they brought back, like, I know Haley's playing in San Jose, I think. Yeah. And I know Trevor Gillies is probably a criminal, but it'd be funny if they brought back, like, guys from the from that brawl game too.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh jeez. Yeah, let's not. Well, Michael Grabner is gonna be available, right?
Yeah.
So they can bring him back. But we'll see what's in store for us. I mean, dude, if they bring back David Volek, that, you know, I mean, the Penguins fans are gonna go crazy. They are going to hate the Islanders so much. You got to do it. If any Islanders employees listen to this, I mean, you got to get a manhunt or something. Find the man, fly him out there, bring him. That would be the greatest thing ever. And just keep playing that clip over and over again. Even if it doesn't work, that would still just be awesome. But thank you very much for hanging out with us. This has been a lot of fun. We will see you probably after game 3. Thanks a lot. In honor of the Jennings Trophy winning duo, how about a little Waylon Jennings? Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.